Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast is in that house, and it does have the best seat. How you doing, internet?
How you doing? I can't hear you, but if you were to answer that, I imagine that you're doing splendid.
Yes, solar system, galaxy, everybody out there who can hear the fabulous sounds that is our voices.
As with us always, we have Melvin. Melvin, how you doing?
There you go. Yeah, he's out. You know, I think it's funny. It speaks volumes, not Melvin's longevity here at this position, which is far less than any other producer we've had. But we really haven't mentioned it lately. And I think that just proves how much of a part of the team Melvin has. He's come almost in spite of himself. So, but don't think we're not still watching your ass, Melvin.
Yeah. It's really funny when he backtalks Noah. Yeah.
I don't understand what he said.
Don't worry about what he said. I got you, buddy.
The saga goes on and on, though. But welcome, people. Wow, we got a hell of a show here tonight, man. We got some hot shit that I can't even begin to stress.
Steamy hot shit.
Steamy from Cleveland, steamy hot shit to go down here on the show.
None of you ever been to Cleveland? It's pretty steamy.
And it is pretty steamy there in Cleveland, and not in the positive sense. Anywho, as far as tonight's Cleveland,
we still love
every listener in Cleveland. We will even love you twice if you ask for it. If you're still there in the morning, be prepared to be loved again. That's what I always say. But we got some news, lots of interesting happenings. You know, the Rumble happened. We bitched about the Rumble. We let the internet bitch about the Rumble. We countered the internet's bitching about the Rumble. We thought it was all in good terms, and the WWE goes ahead and just says, fuck off to all the booking that they had presumably shoved down our throats just 4 days prior. So, whole lot of questions, whole lot of news we can get through. That's the topic of the day, the changing, perhaps, of the plan going into WrestleMania for the main event. We're going to talk about other top interesting news from the thing. And right here, tonight, live on this show, I can't believe even I'm taking the risk and even saying this out loud to preempt it, but live tonight. Later on in this show, we have,
I should admit to the crime that was committed.
And I don't know if it was a crime. It's because we have some red tape. We have some real juicy stuff, folks. We have some stuff that, I don't know about you, but it may, in my opinion, it may break the wrestling internet right here tonight. And we're going to break that out for you later on in the show, so stick around. If you want to be a part of the news rundown, everything that's going on tonight, you know the deal, folks. 602-753-1764. That's the call-in number.
Call it. Rewind. Get the number again.
602-753-1764.
Call it.
Again, there you go. You didn't have to rewind. If you weren't paying attention both times, then shame on you. I'm going to say it again. Here it goes. Nope. No, I'm not. All right. 602-753-1764. That is the call-in number. If you want to ask a question, or be a part of the show. Also, live chat, Melvin, as always, locking down. We got a couple people in the chat already kicking it up. So
always a couple people in the chat.
Always at least a couple, at least to start the show. Always gets populated as it goes on. And we know that you, dear listener, will be a part of that awesome action.
We are rocking it here tonight, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rocking it out with our socks out.
Our socks are flopping all over the place right here. I got my sock in my hand right now. I'm not afraid to admit that.
I am beating my sock.
I sit here the whole time just thrashing my sock around the whole time. I do this show every week. So
you know. Hey, check it out, dude. I'm bringing out my sock.
Excuse me.
Dude, look at all that wire coming out.
Oh, dude, easy. You know, this is a family show. You got to put that sock away.
They can't see my sock.
Right.
It's a pretty dirty sock.
They can picture you.
It's a pretty dirty sock.
And you know what? I'm not going to lie to you, from one man to another, it's a little, it's bigger than I thought it'd be. That's a bigger sock than I thought
it'd be. It's a nice sock.
Yeah.
I see my sock is as big as yours.
Yeah. There you go. Spaceballs reference. We got it in early tonight. Well, as always, you can tell you're part of the fun right here at Ringside View. Let's just cut the crap, though, and let's get into some shit. You want to get into some shit?
Yeah.
Let's get right into that shit.
For you.
What?
Did you watch the Triple H podcast?
Oh, hell yeah.
What'd you think?
Mm. I liked it. I liked, it's, to me, it's not as groundbreaking as the Vince one was. And I'll tell you why. Vince has not been a guest in a medium like that ever. The last one-on-one interview with Vince was with Bob Costas, and it infamously did not go well. So Vince was more groundbreaking, and Austin hit him a little harder than he hit Triple H. Triple H was more casual with his interview, which I liked. But if you listen to Triple H's podcast with Jericho 3 months ago, it covered a lot of the same grounds coming up there, too.
Do you think that was because Triple H is involved in the story?
Yes, I absolutely think it is. I think he felt the need to kayfabe Austin just a little bit. In a protected sense. Like, almost like he had to. What does Vince have to kayfabe? Other than the entire general business sense, which he did. You know, Austin didn't, you know, they didn't go for the throat on any of that shit. But, you know, so Vince didn't have to beat around the bush too much. Triple H had to a little more. That's why Austin's questions, I don't think, were as sharp. I was surprised that they went into CM Punk. I thought they weren't. I didn't think that, you know, it was going to be as hot of an issue as it seemed to be, but look, judging up to the buzz up to that interview on that day on the internet, you could tell it was going to be a part of it, and I'm glad they approached it. I think it was probably a bold-faced lie by Triple H to say that he has no animosity towards Punk. If what Punk said was true, and he told Triple H point-blank in his face that he doesn't need to work with him at WrestleMania, and that it does nothing for him to wrestle that guy at WrestleMania, that's a hell of a... I don't care if he's the most humble person in the world, that's still a shot of your ego. And that's going to sting anybody. So for someone who's known to have a big ego, to sit there and say, oh, there's no problem there. Either he is a far bigger man than anyone gives him credit for, possible, or he bull-faced lied, which, oh, my God, imagine that. A pro wrestler lies in an interview that's supposed to be a shoot. Big chop there, right?
You know, at the same time, though, Vince held personal animosity towards a lot of people for walking out on him, and a lot of people would not be back in the business the way they are. So, I mean, let's be honest there. I mean, Triple H is sitting in that seat now. You know, when it comes time, you'll have to do business with Punk, and you'll have to. Don't give yourself. It'll come time one day, whether it's for the Hall of Fame or what have you. But Triple H will do business again in the time being. He doesn't have to publicly have animosity. He'll work out his differences personally, though.
Here's, in regards very quickly to CM Punk coming back, it all depends on the success of his MMA run. If he's at least stays the same success-wise and doesn't lose any credibility, he'll be worth more then than he will be now, period. And they'll almost have no choice but to negotiate with him because of the sheer money involved in it. And if he doesn't, and he loses notoriety, then they're in the power play position, in which case I don't think Punk can go back in that instance. But you look in the two, when a wrestler burns McMahon, right, and then comes back, it all depends on the position in which they are when they come back. For example, if you are Hulk Hogan or you are Brock Lesnar, right, and your original departure for Hogan's instance, let's say it was both 93 and in 06 when he kind of stormed out of the place too, right? His departures were less than amicable. And Brock Lesnar, who just up and quit to go play football and not make the team, right?
Right.
So those were not amicable separations. Those two, though, came back as something bigger. Hogan, because you gave time plus Hogan equals money. That's how that formula works. And Lesnar became UFC heavyweight champion. So they, and now then Vince was forced to be in a position, oh, it's all, let's bygones be bygones, pal, ha ha, right? Yeah. And in that kind of instance. So that's the position Punk wants to be in when he inevitably would make his professional wrestling return.
That also doesn't change the fact that he's got the ability to go and do movies.
Like, he could do movies, TV. I think would be Punk's strong suit would probably be a TV role. You do, on the flip side, though, talking about high-profile acts that came back to Vince on a low note, the Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom. After their early 90s run, they basically hawked his problems, kind of screwed them out of that deal. And they made a brief return in the mid to late 90s and jobbed everybody in high blue heaven because of the way they left and the way they were treated.
Right.
So, and they never recovered the steam. They won the tag titles again, and they never recovered the steam that they had anywhere near before when they were there because Vince wouldn't let it. I don't think it was exclusively because of that, but that's what happens when you come back to Vince McMahon and you're not in that position of power. Simply put. So, Jeff Jarrett, unless he did something amazing, would never be in a position of power. So it does not benefit Jeff Jarrett to ever take that step with Vince McMahon. Do you think Buff Bagwell would ever be anything other than something terrible if he ever came crawling back to him? He probably has crawled back to Vince. No disrespect to Buff Bagwell, but infamous stories as they go.
Banging chicks on camera.
Yep. What he's doing now.
He enjoys that.
Somebody says.
Don't judge him.
Somebody may make the argument that it may be taking bumps, man.
He's taking bumps. Okay.
Someone's taking, he's taking some sort of bumps, that poor man. Okay. Moving on for Buff Bagwell, but that's the Triple H Awesome podcast. You know, that's our chat's lighting up about it, too. We see that they agree.
Oh, man, yeah, dude. This one guy on here is saying how he wants to just throat kick Triple H. I don't think it's a very nice gesture.
Oh, well, we get some trolls. Don't be afraid, folks. There are some trolls under every bridge, and there are bridges in this internet over here. But hey, it happens. But decent, good podcast.
As I told this guy, it's not a hookup service.
I don't think it was the smart mark slayer of a podcast the way that some people thought it was. Think, oh my God, if you're in the wrestling business, you don't know how it is, and listen to that podcast, and your eyes will be open, you piece of shit. I don't think it was that kind of a slay worthy deal at all. I think the Punk Jericho, the Triple H Jericho podcast was definitely more revealing, with the exception of the Punk part, I guess is what I'm saying, as far as that goes. So, but hey, you know, there's always that fun part there. So do you have any thoughts, lasting thoughts, before we move on about that Austin Triple H podcast?
I just want Austin to dive over whatever table he's interviewing somebody from.
And just start laying in.
Beat the shit out of him.
Laying in some fists.
No, not really much. You covered it all. Did you think that – who do you think is going to be next? Stephanie?
I completely think that's the next one, as far as those go. I think Stephanie will take place before or after WrestleMania. I would not be surprised to see the next Austin podcast be used as part of WrestleMania week, live from Access or something, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Make it an event at Access. And I think that's absolutely something that, you know, they should seriously consider, at least in the regards to, I mean, okay. If Austin's podcast is, in fact, a draw to the network, which they're trying to use it in key spots to get people to renew their month, it's always after your renewal date, the Austin podcast.
Right.
So use it.
This month is free, everybody.
Do you really need it to bolster? It would be a nice addition to WrestleMania week, but you don't really need it to bolster your WrestleMania views. You're getting it for WrestleMania. Maybe save it for WrestleMania Fallout. I don't know. But one more issue, and I want to parlay that into the next news. This is something I think will get your blood going, and then after this, we'll send you a commercial on that note. But a big highlight for me personally that I want to talk about here on the show from that podcast, the last thing, was that Triple H actually addressing the China issue.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That was interesting, and it was perfectly said. That Triple H, and I would agree with him on this 100%, that her accomplishments and merits alone warrant a Hall of Fame.
He didn't argue that
one. No, not at all, but the fact that she is a porn star and went and did porn afterward does inhibit her induction. And I don't think it's because she did porn. I think what they don't want is her to get inducted and then go do porn again. That is what my theory on that
so,
is.
So, I mean, they'll probably wait till she's older, but, I mean, there's also that thing that, you know, let's be real. You wait a little bit longer down the road, you induct China. Teenage boy's like, oh, who's China? This is a big woman. You know, and then it they end up coming across Avengers Triple X parody. I never saw it. I never saw her as a green Incredible Hulk getting smashed by Thor. I mean,
or Hawkeye.
Hawkeye. You know. Oh my God, you know. Anyway, so
I just picked a superhero. Moving on. No, yeah, but that's always a possibility, no matter what. And I think they would take that risk, you know, with a little bit more time, if they could get some assurance that she wouldn't do it again. But, I mean, she comes back on TV. She's more relevant than she has been in a long time. And then she takes it. Can she be trusted with that newfound rejuvenation in who China is and who Joni Laura is? Can she be trusted to not go out and I'm sorry, listeners, but not go out and suck cock? Again.
On camera.
She can do whatever she wants.
Yeah, I mean, really. She got a couple of guys who wants to just go
to Vince does not want, in Triple H, her ex-boyfriend, does not want him to give her that opportunity. And then she goes and uses, oh, now Hall of Fame with China taking 9 loads at the same time. The 9th load wonder of the world.
That'd be a pretty high
selling. Oh, my God, the 9th wonder load of the world.
Dude, that'd be a pretty high selling
Yes, that's why, and she'd be kind of stupid not to do it. So that's why, hence, she's not in the Hall of Fame. She won't be in until she completely it's completely off the table, porn is for her, or
old saggy tits.
Old saggy tits.
Still, I guess it's not. Maybe when she's passed.
There's a myriad of things that could take porn off of her table forever. So once one of those things happens, that, or when she dies, that's when she'll get in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess that's a good time for segue into another annoying bitch. Commercial?
A commercial? Oh, you're talking about... Hey, let's talk about sponsors that way, dude. Yeah, we're going to take a commercial, then we're going to come back, and we're going to kick into some...
One of the only two mediums that allow her to play her ads.
Well, she pays, dude, so she plays the ads. Listeners, if you want to advertise on the show, also feel free to call in or like us on Facebook, and we'll talk to you about it. But we'll be right back. Ringside View.
Ringside View, best seat in the house.
Best seat in the house. Rest of the podcast. Peace out.
What's going on, Cray Cray? This is Becky.
Becky is effing awesome.
I thought I made myself, totally clear, but in case you were the only person who didn't know, I have a beauty salon.
Becky,
don't be stupid. It's the wickedest place that has ever existed.
Becky is the best thing ever.
So hot. It's in my basement, and it's the bombest basement ever.
Oh my god, totally crazy.
Becky's salon. It's the place to be.
So come on down. I'll, give you some tips or some curls or something. Come on down.
Oh my god.
Right.
Becky.
Hello, my name is Fernando Escuela, and I am president and founder of Escuela Preparation Company. We here at Escuela know just how lonely the apocalypse can be. We know that you may be forced to share it with somebody else or by yourself, but no matter what, the minutes, the hours, the days and the weeks will tick away slowly, ever so slowly, until they melt away into nothingness. That is why I, Fernando, have brought to you the newest product from the Escuela Preparation Company. Introducing and bringing to you Fernando's Oil. Fernando's Oil ensures that every moment of your post-apocalyptic experience, every second of your post-end-of-days life, is properly lubricated and scented for both yours and their pleasure. Make those hours feel like minutes. Make those days and weeks feel like forever. Fernando's Oil, the only way to make sure your end of days goes smoothly. Fernando's Oil, brought to you by the Escuela Preparation Company.
So, did you get your free
Fernando's oil.
Yeah.
I did.
Does it, like, make half your body go numb? Because
It is. It makes half your body go numb.
Why did they tell you to put it on your buttock?
I don't know, dude. It actually uses the word spackle. I'm not going to say
I
spackle
this
spackle,
morning.
Yeah.
I can't feel my hands.
It was excruciatingly sticky. Like, it's like for an oil, very sticky.
Do you think?
No.
Is a date rape drug?
I'm not going to say. Because one of our sponsors is
crazy, dude.
But when you spackle it on your butthole, it makes half your body go numb, and it tastes pennies in your mouth.
What is up with that?
I don't know. So, but that's folks. That is used as directed. We use it as directed, and that's what happened. So we're not making that shit up.
If you like that, then go for it.
Yeah, if that's your deal, if you like having half your body numb and tasting pennies in your mouth, well then, Fernando's oil may be exactly the product for you.
I'm pretty sure I shit myself though.
That's weird because I didn't, but I hallucinated vividly for, I don't know, like 2 weeks after.
We did this show 7 days ago.
I know. I don't remember most of it. That was like 3 weeks ago I did it, and I was there for on and off for about 2 weeks.
I did not.
I remember the show here and there. It was more like when I was on the subway on the way back from work, I thought I was in a trap of lions. Nothing wrong. I held my shit together. I only peed a little bit. I mean, that's just some of the after effects that it's not a big deal, though. I mean, Fernando's Oil, check it out. It's a toilet preparation company. If it's right for you,
I wish I would have hallucinated.
I say use in moderation, though. Would you say use in moderation?
Definitely use in moderation.
Well, speaking of moderation, I'm going to use no moderation. I'm telling you that coming up.
Wait,
very
did you
soon
wait probably 6 hours before your next batch?
I only used it once.
Then what the hell did you do to hallucinate?
It was an after effect.
Oh, God.
I don't know, dude. When you spackle the right thing on your butthole, the possibilities are infinite.
So what's next?
Well, next we're going to talk about the news. But coming up after that, folks, it is the piece of red tape that the Titan Towers does not want you to hear. Folks, coming up, you know you want to hear. You want to hear how juicy and amazing and secretive that it is. And we are going to give that to you. But that is coming up so shortly, folks. Do not go away. But let's just get right into both the bread and the butter.
If you prefer peanut butter too.
Whatever. If you're going to eat before a meal, I just say put butter on that bread. You don't need to put peanut butter on that bread if you got a steak coming, dude. I mean, do not mess with my cliche.
All right.
Okay? Anyway. So Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns wins the Royal Rumble. That's a Roman Reigns wins the Royal Rumble. Roman Reigns Royal Rumble. He wins it, and now 8 days later after Raw, it's going to be Reigns versus Bryan for the spot that he won the Royal Rumble. So I'm just gonna cut to the fucking bullshit. None of the trailers, folks. If you haven't watched Raw, what the fuck are you doing listening to our show? And if you do, and you're not, and you're not a casual fan, and you're listening for our reference to legends and our awesome, hilarious nature, thank you. But watch Monday Night Raw. I don't have to explain this shit to you. But lo and behold, it's going to be Bryan versus Reigns at Fastlane for the shot. Why the F are you going to have a guy win the Royal Rumble and then do it such a fashion if you're going to end up flip-flopping again? Pick a guy, and if we like it or not, if you're going to stick with him, stick with him.
So what do you think this is all? You think this is just a way for them to put Reigns over Bryan and, you know, just kind of put that to rest a little bit?
My immediate instinct says yes, that it's just have Reigns pin Bryan undisputedly, and
well,
then there you go.
That's the thing. It won't be
they're going to try to transfer the kids over.
They're going to, you know.
They are not above Reigns just flat out clean beating Bryan. They're not.
I don't think that's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. You know the authority is going to come out. You know, who do they want to win?
Here's the two options you have. Sorry to interrupt you. But if you have any kind of the only reason to have Reigns beat Daniel Bryan is to have him do it decisively and try to transfer as many of the kids and Baszler's babyface fans over to him in going into his match with Lesnar. Keep going. I'm sorry.
All right. My theory is that they're going to come out and fuck with both of them. And when they're both done cleaning house, you know, maybe Brian turns around, catches a spear, you know, because the match is still on, and Reigns wins after, you know, both of them take out the authority. And it's kind of like, no, he doesn't really look weaker because he took advantage of the situation because they both had to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But that doesn't transfer. The whole point of having that match and Reigns going in isn't transfer some babyface shine. That won't get the job done. That's a cover your ass kind of book, which is what you would expect them to do. No, so if you're not going to have Reigns beat Friday, which they're not beyond, clean, which would be a bit of a waste, but they are not beyond that, and the authority gets involved, then it has to go to some. It's a disputed finish at best, not finish probable. In which case, if there's interference, I see Bryan added to that match at WrestleMania. If there's any kind of interference. If there isn't and Bryan gets beaten clean, then there is no dispute. And they just try to transfer some rub. And Bryan will be on the undercard of WrestleMania. And they'll try to book him as an afterthought with hope that people will treat him as such. That's what I think that outcome is if Reigns beats him clean, which is the only reason to have him beat him clean is to try to, for that exact thing I just mentioned. I agree with you, though. Triple threat.
They said publicly, well, they didn't say publicly, they said through people that said publicly, apparently, internet trolling, but they weren't going to give in to that whole Bryan thing at WrestleMania. So, I don't know. I hope he makes his way into the damn match. You know what I mean? Like,
I think that's what they'll do. I mean, they could
beat Bryan and Lesnar. To Bryan, beat Reigns and Lesnar.
That's a super underdog struggle for Bryan, which is a good story to sell there. That he's by far the smallest guy in the match. He's the most experienced guy in the match, but he's also the smallest guy in the match. So it's an interesting dynamic. And I think you would sell more tickets, and it would be a better story going into that as a triple threat match. But it also bugs me a little bit that you didn't see that coming. Like, you're Vince McMahon, and you didn't see the Rumble match coming, so you're going to backpedal like that.
Oh my God.
That grabbed me a little bit. What did you just realize or think of?
Oh my God. All right. So, triple threat match. Bryan, Reigns, Lesnar, WrestleMania, right? Bryan wins. Beats Reigns and Lesnar. Seth Rollins comes out.
Has to.
Cashes in the Money in the Bank. As he's handing it to the referee, if Reigns gets in the ring, grabs the briefcase out of Rollins' hand, knocks Bryan out, hands it back to Rollins.
Oh, turn.
Heel turn for Reigns.
If you're going to heel turn Reigns, that's a good idea. If you're going to heel turn Reigns, have him win the belt.
It's a good call, too.
That's what I would do with Heyman. I have Heyman turn on Brock, and I'd have Reigns turn on the fans, and I think your alliance going out of WrestleMania is that. And that's the only instance in which I would not have Rollins cash in Money in the Bank. If Reigns wins as a babyface, if Daniel Bryan wins, I'd still have Rollins. If Brock let anybody else wins under any circumstances other than a Reigns heel turn, have Rollins cash it in. I think, and I'll tell you if you think this is wrong, because they rumored Bryan and Ziggler for opening match before this all got shifted around. So presuming that they don't feed Bryan the Reigns, and he makes it in the main event, Ziggler's open. Ziggler win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
That'd be cool.
Put him in that spot?
Yeah.
Win that match? He can only benefit.
You know Cesaro is going to be defending champion.
Yeah, we'll go down to Ziggler and Cesaro and have Ziggler switch his way out.
Ziggler, Cesaro, Big Show, and Kane.
So you can have Barrett. Looks like Barrett. Also, WrestleMania update. It looks like Barrett and Ambrose. For the Intercontinental Championship. How do you feel about that?
I'll take it. I thought that's going on fast lane.
They'll probably go non-finish at Fastlane. They'll probably go the exact same route as Rusev Cena.
They can't be pulling the trigger on that right now.
They blew that whole thing so bad. And I don't get real pissy about shit, but folks, they blew that. Like, instead of having Rusev demolish a soldier or trash America and John Cena come out and said, I've had enough, they did it in a backstage segment on a post-show. So a pay-per-view when people who were watching, still watching, were already pissed off. Anyone still watching it was not even really paying attention. And then they made people on Monday night, last night on the post-show, these two guys got into it. Oh, my God, that's a money feud, and he just blew the build-up to it off. So now it's just like, what are you – Because if Dusty Rhodes or Eddie Graham or Jim Cornette or Jerry Lawler or Vern Gagne or Bill Watts or even friggin' Jim Crockett had someone with the heat that Rusev has managed to maintain. In today's day and age, Rusev has managed to have a successful foreign heel gimmick, which is tough in an age of globalization, and he's done it. And with John Cena's white meat built-in patriotism thing, my God, they would have booked it in the Superdome and it would have sold out. And you would have paid to see them touch.
There's not going to be a Hearts on Fire montage.
No.
Because it's not going to matter now.
See, I'm going to just deviate here real quick because idea I always wanted to see happen. And maybe because he can come back from retirement. You know, I'm just going to fantasy book for 2 minutes here, folks. So we brought up to Rusev and John Cena at WrestleMania. And in a moment that nobody sees coming, Rusev breaks John Cena, slaps him in the accolade. John Cena passes out, and Rusev wins. Takes his U.S. title, and the next night on Raw declares himself the European champion. Being from Bulgaria, supporting the Russian invasion of Ukraine, he declares himself champion of all that is United States and Europe. And there is no wrestler, United, American or European, that can stop him otherwise. And cue Santino Marella, who comes out and power walks himself down to the ring, back from retirement. He may have a broken neck, but he can still with you. And against all the powers of logic and all the things happening, Santino gets beat, like in 8 seconds, right? But he swears, still don't make it a comeback. So, and he starts challenging Rusev, and Rusev could be in a feud with anybody else, Ryback, give anybody. And each week on Superstars and SmackDown and Raw, we see Santino training to come back and fight Rusev as a complete afterthought. And then he comes back 4 weeks later, and Rusev beats him in 12 seconds, right, and just destroys him again. But now Santino's really pissed off, right? So he goes on an eight-week training video segment, hearts on fire, pouring sweat with his back, pouring a truck with his teeth, doing one-handed push-ups, and he comes back, and at SummerSlam, Rusev beats him in 30 seconds. Right? It lasts a little longer. So Santino's really pissed off now, right? And he goes to Italy, and he starts doing everything. He starts training like the ancient Olympians, even though that's Greece. He starts doing everything he possibly can. He starts, they do this silly montage where he swims around the world, getting ready. He travels around 80 days. He learns the forbidden style of the Cobra, a new move that he can stop Rusev. And finally at Survivor Series, he beats him. He beats Rusev. Rolls him up, and to everyone's surprise, he finally did it.
Excuse me.
Oh, man. Excuse you. And then
he just startled that out.
Yeah, startled
it
out.
Brilliant idea.
And then Rusev proceeds to demolish him after his big victory. I mean, to the point where they come out the next night on Raw, and Santino's in a neck brace, and he retires emotionally. Breaks kayfabe. Just doesn't, you know, he's like, I'm sorry. Not because he still doesn't say, he's like, but I can't walk anymore. He's walking. I can't walk anymore. And that's it. And then who's going to be the guy to come back out and stop? John Cena. Take it back up. WrestleMania 32. 105,000 people. Rusev versus John Cena with Santino in John Cena's corner. How do you feel about that, Drew?
That's my view. I don't know. John Cena is probably going to win at WrestleMania.
Oh, God. Yes, he is.
That would really, really, really make Rusev if he just goes the distance with John Cena.
Oh, I think he'll look good because Rusev's got it. I mean, I've been saying that for a while. He pulled a good feud out of Jack Swagger. He couldn't see coming. But he sold that leg. In those matches, you just get he's aware of what needs to be done to make the story in the ring feel complete.
Yes, he's very good.
So I think they'll have a better match than people think they will, and I hope to see that feud actually go on further past WrestleMania. Give it a little bit of legs, and then when you move Rusev on from John Cena, don't bury him.
Rusev really is like an in-ring general in a way. You know, just look at him. He has such great psychology. He sells very well.
He does so very well.
That's why you saw the Jack Swagger, you know, feud and the whole ankle. Made it believable.
And he bumps very well, goes back with the cell thing, because he gave R-Truth and Zack Ryder their 15 seconds of offense. He bumped like hell for him.
Oh, yeah.
So, took him, and so he knows how to make it good. And I think he's a really good example of a product of that developmental system where they inbred all that knowledge of your classic greats into him, and it worked.
So, yeah, I mean, Rusev going to look good at WrestleMania, losing the match. We are being invaded currently.
I'm waiting for you guys to say something positive about Grizzly Adams, who does not bathe.
We already talked about it, anyway. We've moved it on. So Apocalypse
Adams,
who wanders into the studio getting ready for her show tomorrow.
Daniel
sometimes.
Brian.
She does not approve of Daniel Bryan. The folks, and we know that you all love him, and very few of you hate him. And if you disagree with Apocalypse, then write us and tell us why.
People say they agree with me.
Well, Mom, because you can get 200 people to say whatever you want them to say.
Well,
that's your limit of people that you can control is 200 people. If life was Pikmin, your count would be topped at 200.
What is Pikmin?
Pikmin. It's a Japanese video game reference.
Oh, okay.
Keep going on, folks.
Well, as long as I'm going to make a prediction.
What's your prediction?
I'm going to predict that Daniel Bryan is going to suffer an injury in the ring.
He already has.
No, this
take him out of the match?
Take him out of the match for WrestleMania. So, Roman Reigns. Oh, yeah, did you see that? He has Captain America skills. Flew through the air, the spear, Big Show.
Well, he has the six moves of doom that you need to be the main guy. And I'm not doubting that guy's going to be a star.
Wait, are you saying that you are a big supporter of Roman Reigns?
Yes, I am. Yeah. I think I really heard a really good microphone presentation on Monday Night Raw. I thought he did really well.
You mean a promo?
When he was in the ring, I don't know if we can consider that a promo.
It's a promo.
Are you telling me I don't get the spot in Royal Rumble? And you know, Joe was like, what we're saying is, instead he's like, I just don't want, you know, they're going
back. Yeah,
he did
feel
really,
we all
really well. What PO'd me.
PO'd. This is rated R.
Okay. What pissed me off was Daniel Bryan coming in with his jelly belly and his long matted hair and his stinky pits jumping up and down going, yes, yes, yes. Get your butt out of that ring. You had your time.
No,
it's okay.
He never lost the belt. He never lost the belt.
You know, too bad for him. And that's exactly,
you know why he never lost the belt?
Because he was injured.
Yes, because he got hurt in the ring having an injury, the thing he just wished on him.
Okay, well, I'm not wishing on him. But even Austin said, okay, Austin, you know, Stone Cold.
Yes,
no.
Nobody knows who Austin is in that reference. Well, you know, we opened the show talking about the thing you're talking about now.
Austin said, dude, you had an injury. You have to deal with the losses and everything that goes with it. I got struck down when I was on my way up, and when I come back, I had to go back up again. Nobody, he had to work his way back up again. What
did
Grizzly Adams so special? Nothing.
Well,
everything.
At that time, Stone Cold truly hadn't reached that Stone Cold mark. He really hadn't gotten to that point where he was bigger than the company at the time. And I mean, Daniel Bryan,
not bigger than
Austin got hurt at a real good point in his rise with Owen Hart, and he came back too soon and shortened his career, but it allowed him to take advantage of the momentum he had still built on. Daniel Bryan has built up a lot of momentum organically.
What do you call the guys that take the fall all the time? Not the fall.
Jobbers,
yeah. If this was 1988,
he'd be a jobber
because he has nothing.
The thing is,
he'd be a Dynamite Kid.
And you know, since Roman Reigns won the Royal Rumble subscriptions before they up at the
No, price, first of all, don't you dare. No. First of all, before you go
over there.
Don't you dare sit there and try to pull a Vince McMahon jack off in his office move by attributing the fact that Roman Reigns wins the Royal Rumble and they had a million subscriptions, so therefore Roman Reigns is the reason why everyone watches pro wrestling. Don't pull that bullshit.
We are the silent people. We don't feel the need to sit there and chant yes, to cry like babies because our guy didn't win.
No.
We don't have to do that. That's why you're hearing all this turmoil. The Daniel Bryan fans feel like they're like liberals. Like they have to scream.
Oh, we're in politics.
And then the Roman Reigns people are like, it's good, we just sit back and wait.
Before we force you out and move on with our show, the reason why Daniel Bryan has the popularity that he has and the ways that he has it is very simply put, and I think that's the way you can relate, being a journeyman writer who took themselves up from obscurity into popularity, you know, almost despite the system. Daniel Bryan is the last of a cadre of wrestlers that began at a time when the independent circuit in America wasn't even really what it was when he left it. You know, he's one of the reasons why there was an independent circuit that was successful. Trained by Shawn Michaels, mentored by William Regal, he is the last of the journeyman wrestlers of the.
Daniel Bryan is one of only two students of Shawn Michaels.
No, there's a couple of students, Shawn Michaels. There's only three that ever made any kind of prominence.
Two things would make me would have caused me not to hate him. I hate chants that just ridiculous. Like what? Yes. Okay,
yeah.
Come on.
What?
Great vocabulary. I hate this stuff. And the other thing is, if he wouldn't have taken a leap on the tree on Total Divas, then I would have been fine. I mean, like, you don't need to whip out your penis and take a leak on the tree on the television show to show that you're a mountain man. All guys take a leak on the tree when they're outside.
Before we force you out, let me ask this question, because before you walked in and barged in, we just finished talking about
it. WrestleMania ticket.
So they add Bryan to the triple threat match at WrestleMania. All right.
Why would it need to be a triple threat match again? Did he not get his candy last year? Stop. I got my triple match last year.
Because it's a business and it's about money. And if they feel they make more money with their most popular guy in the match, then that's what they'll do. Not the point. If they add him to it, then it presents itself for a unique opportunity for Roman Reigns to walk out of WrestleMania, not only as the champion, but alongside Paul Heyman.
Oh, I would love that.
Well, how would you feel about
like
that?
I love Paul Heyman. You know, in fact, if it comes down to Daniel Bryan or Brock Lesnar, I will be chanting Brock all the way. Brock's phenomenal. There's no way 5'2" Daniel Bryan is going to beat Brock Lesnar.
It's pro wrestling.
That's
the magic of pro wrestling.
I mean, there's no way Hulk Hogan was going to beat Andre the Giant.
Think about all three.
He didn't have skills.
Let's think about all three. If you add, to me, the story works better if you add Bryan. Just the story of that match. Because going without it, it's Roman Reigns, who is the disputed challenger, going against Brock Lesnar, who's arguably more popular than the babyface going in that match. But add Daniel Bryan, the small guy in the ring with two giants, right? The most experienced wrestler, clearly the fan favorite, the underdog, versus Reigns, who's the disputed number one contender, clearly the top star and handpicked by the company. He's got nothing but potential, but is he ready yet? And on the other side is Brock Lesnar, who is a bear in a man costume, who is leaving. What story can you tell? Was Paul Heyman selling that match to you?
Paul Heyman, I think that Reigns needs to side with Brock, beat the piss out of Daniel Bryan, toss his left ass out of the ring, and then take down Brock. This is what I think. Okay, now let me ask you this question before you kick me out of here, okay? Good analogy, metaphor, analogy. You were born into music.
Yeah.
Your mother a musician,
yeah.
Your father a musician.
Yeah.
You are a naturally gifted, both of you boys could pick up an instrument and learn it.
Thank you.
Okay, so who's that band with Adam Levine? Maroon 5, okay. Maroon 5 comes to town. And
yeah.
What is the name of your band? Okay, the name of your band. Adam happens to be having a beer at the bar. Here's your band. It says, dude, our band dropped out at the last minute. You guys want to open for us? Are you going to tell Adam Levine?
So you're taking the don't blame Roman Reigns, taking up. Nobody is.
Okay. Booing him.
They're not booing him.
The WWE is going to vote off of fan reaction. If the fans don't want to see Roman Reigns in the main event of WrestleMania, he shouldn't be in the main event of WrestleMania.
That's a question. Don't you think that because you guys were born into music, that you have a certain natural Billy, as opposed to someone that had to learn wrestling, or maybe their father was an accountant or something like that, and didn't really grow up with it.
Can you deny that somebody raised around a certain thing will be more inclined and probably predisposed to that thing? No, you cannot deny that. But that does not mean that I deserve to make it in music more than somebody else does who didn't have family in it. I won't deny that. It's about what you put into it.
But if you get the opportunity, you're not going to say,
if a million people don't want to buy my CD and they want to buy somebody else's CD, then another person's
If you want to use a music reference, you know what happens when a band is not ready for to be the number one single in the country, when they are the number one single in the country? You become a one-hit wonder. But a band that earns that state and earns that respect.
Like Sheamus. Sheamus was like a terrible champion.
Sheamus was the Roman Reigns. Sheamus, absolutely.
Right.
He didn't stick. And Sheamus,
it
ironically, you know what made Sheamus legitimate? Ironically, a feud with Daniel Bryan. when he beat Daniel Bryan for the belt at 18 seconds of WrestleMania, and then the next month they went and had themselves a 45-minute 2 out of 3 falls match at Extreme Rules, which is still the match of that year. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
I think that that's what needs to happen. I think Paul Heyman needs to mentor Roman Reigns to make him what he, because Paul Heyman's great. I mean, he's a fantastic.
I think that's, if you have that triple threat match, that's how I'd like to see it. I'd like to see an F5 on Daniel Bryan, right? Brock Lesnar catches him in midair with a knee. F5 on Daniel Bryan, 1-2, Heyman pulls the ref out. Well, Lesnar's wondering what the hell Paul Heyman just did. He gets speared, and we got a new champion.
Well, considering I gifted you 2 Road to WrestleMania tickets, okay, on.
We did, we are going.
Try to watch Fastlane at the same time as me, so I can real-time question.
Yeah, we'll be together. So don't worry about
that. Why don't you come to my castle?
I will. You know what? How big is your TV?
37,000 inches.
Well, if you know what? If it's not,
I have a lot of money.
If it's not snowing, I'll come over and I'll bring pizza.
All right. Well, we'll make plans later.
Yeah, not on my show.
Because speaking of plans. And making plans.
And speaking of jacking off in Vince's office.
Yes, I mean, that's a hell of a segue. And people want to know, why is Roman Reigns being booed? What kind of plans are made to keep Roman Reigns in top? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the thing we've been talking about all show, this piece of red tape that cannot be cut, we have to take the risk and show to you, play for you here today, is that we have an actual conversation recorded in Vince McMahon's office. So you know how the president records all the conversations in the Oval Office, Drew?
Yes.
Well, apparently Vince McMahon calls his office the Jungle Room, and they record all the conversations that take place in the Jungle
Room. How do we get it?
I'm not allowed to reveal my sources, but let's just say that perhaps a former employee of Vince McMahon, who may or may not have walked around with a bird on his arm the whole time, may have slipped out this cassette tape.
Okay.
And of course, we all know that I refer to Bruce Pritchard. Just kidding. No, Bruce Pritchard. But folks, I mean, I can't stress that this is we're taking a risk here playing this for you guys. But this is a live meeting that we got the recording of conducted.
You're going to get so much insight from this conversation.
From McMahon's office.
So much insight.
So we're going to react with you here, guys. Take you know what, Melvin. Let's all take the rest. It's Ringside View, exclusive right here, recording from inside Mr. McMahon's office. Melvin, play the clip.
Mr. McMahon?
Yeah?
Dusty Rhodes is here to see you, sir.
Send him in.
Right away, sir.
Vince, baby, how you doing?
Dusty. Hey, pal, what can I do for you?
Yeah, that's right. It's the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, here to tell you, Vince, I got an idea for the next breakout superstar right here in the WWE, baby.
Okay.
Okay, Vince, so check this out. You know, in this business, there only comes once in a lifetime the opportunity to seize the moment that I have seen. The moment, Vince, baby, that needs to be seized. Do you understand me, baby?
Yeah.
Okay. Vince, drive around America, Vince. What do you see everywhere, baby? You see it everywhere. It's in every shopping center. It's next to every grocery store. It's next to every apartment complex. They're on every single place in America, every single street, baby, Vince. Vince, you understand what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm talking about?
All right.
Vince, baby, the American Dream is talking about mattress stores, baby.
Yeah.
There'd be mattress stores everywhere. And with everywhere the mattress store, they're always on sale too, Vince. I mean, oh. So everyone in America naturally will relate to a mattress man. Do you get what I'm going here, baby? We call him the mattress man, baby. And he comes out and he's on a Tempur-Pedic Thunder, baby. He's on a spring-loaded saucer, baby. Oh, his memory foam mad, baby. He comes on out and you know what he does, Vince? You know what he does, baby? Oh, he goes to sleep, baby. Oh, that's right. That's what he does. He literally hits himself with his own move, and he puts himself to sleep, baby, before the opponent can already do it. And that's what he has him, Vince. That's what he has him, baby. Just at that moment when he is asleep, then he will wake up, and he will beat them in the crowd, Vince, baby. Can you see it now? 60,000 people, baby. 70,000 people, baby. 90,000 people, baby. 350,000 people, baby. Going crazy for the mattress, man. What you think, baby?
Ha, 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 ha. God damn it. I love it. It's hired.
Oh, see, I'm glad you like it, baby.
We're going to make
see,
a fuck ton of
idea,
money, pal.
The light of which that have great not idea, been Justin. Seen since the nature boy Ric Flair. See, this could be the next thing, baby. You could walk through that door and come out just signing mattress lap, baby. If you will.
Hey, you let me know the next time you get something else, pal.
All right, Vince, I'm going to go down to Florida and get this thing a roller, baby. I'll catch you around. I'll let you know. I swear, I'll let you know. Daddy Rose, let you know, baby. Oh.
All right, thanks. Victoria.
Yes, Mr. McMahon?
Send Heath Slater in here. I'm going to give him a gay biker gimmick.
Right away, sir.
Wow. There it was. Groundbreaking stuff right here. I'm pretty sure we're going to have more. As weeks go on,
I may or may not have gotten access to more recordings. So we'll have to see if we get any legal backlash. And if we don't, I want to keep playing them.
What'd you think about that?
Oh, wow, dude. I mean, first of all, let's break down. Thank you very much to my source for getting us that tape. But the mattress, man, dude, that has 1995 written right all over it.
That has Shockmaster written right over it.
I wonder if Uncle Fred, the tugboat, Shockmaster is going to play the mattress man, if you will.
He should.
I wonder, are we going to see the mattress man in NXT then?
Brooklyn Brawler has become the homeless brawler.
Oh, yes, sir.
The mattress
man. Ah, good call. We'll see. Maybe we email Dusty, try to get a hold
he
of him.
He'll be far off. I don't know what he's doing.
If you email Dusty, then he'll know that we have the tape. So, ooh, conundrum. But wow, groundbreaking stuff here.
But he doesn't know Melvin has the tape.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So, I mean, that's the kind of shit we bring you right here.
No dick pics, Melvin.
Do not send Dusty Rhodes pictures of your dick.
If he sends one back, you keep it, frame it, and treasure it. But don't send one to him. Not one. If he asks for one, then it's fair.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm. Did you resolve that?
Yes.
Well, you know.
I told him if Dusty Rhodes asks for a dick pic, it's all kosher.
Well, I mean, I believe I can speak for the rest of America that when Dusty Rhodes asks for a dick pic, send the man a dick pic. Doesn't have to be yours.
Just a picture of a dick.
Use Google Images.
Yeah, it's probably the best.
Would you satisfy the American dream? Damn it.
You give him
what he wants, baby.
In the form of a dream.
I can't do a Dusty Rhodes, but, you know, if you will.
Dusty Rhodes is sounds pretty jolly in real life.
Yeah, he does. Dusty Rhodes, did I ever tell you the story about Dusty Rhodes blowing me off for an autograph in Miami?
No.
Flew to Miami for the Royal Rumble, went outside the arena where people wait for the wrestlers to leave and get an autograph. And there were two exits. And there was the bulk one, which most of the people were gathered around, and very few wrestlers came out. Well, there was a secondary exit that fed in to the main entrance that we saw people coming through that had only three people there. So the group that I was with, the Dr. Jones and others, we went to stand up there. And we got there a little too late to catch Finley, but there's Dusty Rhodes coming right out. We're like, Dream, American Dream, sir. We really appreciate it. Can we get a moment of your time? Can we get an autograph? And just nodded at us and walked away. Didn't even. But Bobby Lashley, former TNA World Champion.
Is his neck separated any more from his chin in real life?
Bobby Lashley?
No.
Dusty Rhodes?
Dusty Rhodes.
Yes. Because he's a little thinner as an older man now.
Okay.
But, yes. But Bobby Lashley was a real nice guy.
And I hear he is.
Big mountain of a man.
Everybody I've ever met that's come across him has gotten an autograph or a picture with him.
Big mountain of a man.
I hear that, too.
Yeah. But he just lost the TNA championship.
It's almost as cool, though, you know, getting blown off by Dusty Rhodes. It's almost as cool as having McDonald's with a couple wrestlers.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. I also had a chance. I don't like to talk about it or brag, but I had a chance to have lunch with Matt Hardy and Gregory Helms and McDonald's in Columbus, Ohio.
What did they eat?
I can't quite remember. I mean, it was Big Macs, I think, and French fries.
There's a couple of them?
I actually think it's probably chicken sandwiches in retrospect. But, yeah, they had, yeah, they each had two things. I can't really remember too vividly.
If I spent $20
I was too busy just listening to them talk to each other, mostly. And the person I was there with, they knew Matt Hardy. So they were all talking. I was just...
jagging each other?
Yeah. Well, dude, Gregory Helms has such a thick accent. In real life, it's very southern here. You know, he's always all talking like this, and he talks real fast, and he's got a real heavy accent. So you have to kind of listen to what he's saying if you're not really too sure what he's doing.
The hurricane.
Yeah.
What's up with that? What's up with that?
He was the heel Greg Helms at that time, so yeah. He was like in nice clothes. Matt Hardy was in a t-shirt and sweatpants, but he was in nice clothes. Greg Helms was.
That's awesome.
But yeah, and they went back. After the show, we gave Chris Masters a hard time as he walked back to his car.
Did you see him?
Oh, yeah, he was walking past. And so they were shouting stuff at him to fuck with him. And everyone was just catcalling Chris Masters. So it was fun, you know. You know, that guy.
Mr. Tree Ripper Outer.
Yeah, Ripper side of a tree to save his mom. Way to go, Masters. Chris Masters gets the first.
Respect.
You know what I'm going to say? Chris Masters is the first recipient of the Ringside View Chris Masters Award. Give it to people who rip trees out of the ground to save a family member from distress. So, Chris Masters, congratulations. You won an award.
So, it seems, though, there on a side note here, that your PSA has paid off.
It has.
Slightly. We have made $15,000 back from the 3 in the morning spot.
Out in Liechtenstein, or wherever
it's
that
about
was.
Fucking time. It's about time.
You know, it's a slow process. It's changing. Budapest doesn't use the euro; they use the Budapesti. So exchanging Budapesti to dollars, they can't. You know, it's a bit tricky, but we did it, so we'll make some more money. It's now a good time to mention that I've actually taken out money for a second PSA.
No.
Yeah, I already did it. I already spent it.
Why?
Well, I originally was going to produce it to air on the Super Bowl, but...
It's taken us 4 months to make $15,000 out of how much?
I spent $79,000 on...
Every time it gets higher.
Well, we spend more money every time it airs. It goes back and forth. With this new one, I'm only spending $125,000 on the PSA. It's going to be really classy. I think you're really going to like
it. Go back.
Give us a couple of weeks.
Go back.
It'll be nice. It'll be good.
Stop.
Moving on.
Stop.
Moving on.
Stop.
Moving on.
How much...
$125,000.
Stop. How much?
$125,000.
Are you mad?
Mad for that PSA.
Is this going to be on at 2:33 a.m. every day in some third world country that nobody gets cable?
Actually, no. It's going to be on at 6:30 p.m. in New York.
All right, what's the catch?
There's no catch. On the most popular radio station, every one of them, at 6:30 in New York.
What is it?
I can't remember. There's like 9 of them. All going to be playing at 6:30 p.m. in New York.
Wait, on the regular radio?
New York.
Wait, what was that?
Nothing. It's 6:30 in New York.
New York what?
New York. Madagascar.
There's a New York in Madagascar?
There's a... town called New York and Madagascar. We're going to be on prime time in New York.
Village?
Prime time in New York.
You know what a town consists of in Madagascar, right?
Yeah. Like they have actual towns in Madagascar, Drew. One's called New York, and we're on at prime time. We're on at prime time in New York. You don't have to think any further, New York, Madagascar. You don't have to think any further into it.
Question.
What?
Did you see Madagascar when you signed the contract?
I saw Madagascar with Ben Stiller and Chris Falk. And I'm hoping that we can get some of that sweet-talking penguin money.
There's no sweet-talking anything there.
Yes, there is.
People.
Maybe.
Question. Though.
Yes.
When you signed, it said prime time New York, did you see Madagascar?
Yes.
Before you signed?
Yes. It was my idea. I specifically looked into New York, Madagascar, and then offered them our thing. So I could tell you that we had prime time in New York. I could have gotten like Chicago in actual America for way less, but fuck it. You know, you got to take risks to make money. in business. The whole $125 wasn't just spent on airtime. I feel like $95 was spent on airtime. There was $30,000 that was spent on travel expenses to go to Thailand. I went for a weekend. I guess it's more than $125. I didn't really count the $73,000 I spent on production budget. The $62,700 that we spent on, we built a library in Canada. So it all goes, I didn't really count any of that, but it all comes in one package deal. It's really good.
We built a library in Canada.
We did.
That's the greatest thing we've done with that money.
Yes. Unfortunately, there was an error in the library with Canada.
What's the error?
It's the biggest library in northern Canada.
Okay.
There's two problems with it. There are 35,000 books located in this library.
All right.
Massive.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's 150 miles north of the tree line. So it's actually the northmost structure in North America. And it's 35,000 copies of the same book.
I don't even care what book it is.
It doesn't really matter.
I don't know what to say.
It doesn't really matter.
I'm speechless.
I don't think it matters.
You have me at $250,000. I'm done after that.
I don't know if we pass. I don't know. I don't think we did.
What's you it? Have passed
it's
that.
Not. It's, you know, the,
you
it's,
have
the,
passed
it's
that.
It's that Becky money, dude.
She did not spend that much.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe she did. I don't
know. We made a whopping $67 off of Becky.
No, we've made more than that.
That we know of.
No, we don't know. We'll see. Fernando, too. Hey, I know it keeps spending. They haven't stopped me yet. So I'm looking into buying a helicopter. It's going to be cool.
Is that time?
I think it's almost time. There's one more thing I want to do before we go.
What
do
you want to do before we go?
Last week we didn't do it because we were in Royal Rumble fallout mode. The Royal Rumble just happened. But for 3 weeks before that, we ended the show with our Royal Rumble predictions. So you know what, damn it? Right now, 9 days removed from the Royal Rumble event, let's get our Royal Rumble 2016 predictions in early. I'm saying right now my first pick for the 2016 Royal Rumble winner, I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to say the one to take it all, enter in at number 8, and survive to the end, Eric Rowan. Cheap mask, WrestleMania.
My God.
Yeah. What do you say?
Dean Ambrose.
Ambrose taking the 16. Okay, well, then you heard it here first, folks. I don't think anyone's giving you their predictions yet, and you just got it right here. Well, you know, I think that's about time. Melvin, you about ready to take us home?
Yeah.
All right. That's good to know. I hope that was the end. Drew, is there anything else you want to add to our dear, sweet, sexually charged listeners?
That I am about to fire Noah.
Well, that's awesome. Meanwhile, I'm going to sit here holding my sock in my hand, just grabbing just the tip in the base, with a gentle amount of pressure while we get ready to go home. Is there anything else you want to add, Drew?
My sock is now warm and comfortable and cozy.
You warmed your sock up?
I warmed my sock up.
Yeah.
It's ready to go.
All right. Well, I guess it's time to take it out of here. Well, that's it for Ringside View. We'll see you next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check out Apocalypse Then, a show. It's a funny show. It's on tomorrow night, Thursdays at 9 p.m. Check it out, ApocalypseDenner.com. Our website, Drew, is
www.ringsideviewwrestling.com.
Stop telling me to stop saying it.
Been saying
it. I'm going to always say it.
No, you're not.
I still type it. Stop that shit.
Stop
RingsideViewWrestling.com.
www.ringsideviewwrestling.com.
Like us on Facebook, folks.
Follow us on Twitter.
I'm Noah.
I'm Drew. Best seat in the house.
Ringside View, best seat in the house. Peace out, folks. Put it up.